This is an innovative show with a global voice and a global platform to help us all come together in areas of sexual issues, challenges in sex, challenges in sexuality and identity. This can be just on our own behalf, or it can be struggles in the issues that we deal with in our relationships. Our sexuality, it does define who we are. It helps define that. It's a huge piece. And again, alone and in relationship. But it is necessary to understand our sexuality if we're going to build self-esteem. Straight Up Sex Talk is a movement, and that is intentionally to offer support, wisdom, and questions and answers, to offer ideas, and to bring you amazing guests that will bring us enlightenment in areas that connect to so many of you and people that you know that might be struggling or challenged with something regarding these issues. For the last 2 weeks, we focused on the LGBTQ poly community, but our specific focus was transgender. And we did have a world-renowned doctor stating right on the show that maybe one or two lives were being saved by the insights that we were sharing with the strong support of that transgender community. At a minimum, I hope we offered value and minimized pain in at least one person's life. I hope maybe we did offer inspiration for someone who lost hope. This show is a support community, and I am so proud that we come together to continue expanding knowledge for the purpose of being the best we can and reaching our personal potential. For the next 2 weeks, we have a two-part series, The Dissection of an Orgasm, The Raw Truth. We are going to focus on actually understanding the logic of an orgasm, what it is, what happens to our body, if it is healthy, and if we tell you it is, what are the reasons that we might back up the information we're sharing with you? Before I talk about or introduce our guest, I want to say some basic things that will continue allowing us to come together in support. Please find us on Facebook. That's just Straight Up Sex. All one word, but Straight Up Sex. Twitter is @StraightUpSex. But you'll remember it because sex in that one on Twitter has three X's at the end. XXX, Straight Up Sex. You can find me at Quality for Life Coaching. Four words, no spaces, no numbers, qualityforlifecoaching.com. Take a look at my website. I'll be bossy. Really, go look at it because it's super unique and it's fun and it's always changing. And I want you to connect with me for any reason. I not only say a free consultation, I'm calling it a share session. Share anything, even if you don't have a problem. Find me anyway. I'd love to chat with you and hear what's on your mind. I'd also like you to check out the site Passionate Potential. Remember, it's not passion, it's passionate potential, all one word, .com. This is a site providing options for protection, prevention, and play. Items that are just awesome. It's a site that's safe. It's confidential. I just think you'll enjoy even looking at it. So check it out, passionatepotential.com. There will be a Straight Up Sex tip at the end of the show, like there always is. And there's only one tiny little break. So just stay with us through this because it's a great conversation with a lot of information that you are going to love. And it applies to every one of us. My guest today is someone that I hold in such high regard. I'm always thrilled when she has the time and the ability to guest on the show. She wrote the book, Orgasm for Life. Please Google and find that book. You've probably heard me saying how valuable that book is. Jennifer Elizabeth Masters. She is my friend and yes, a successful author, but so much more. Her blog is crazy good. You gotta check it out. It's Jennifer Elizabeth Masters, all one word, Jennifer Elizabeth Masters, all together, @blogspot.com. Okay, let me offer a little bit more of a formal bio just to give you a feeling. For over a decade, Jennifer has helped thousands map out clear, precise direction in their paths towards spiritual development and personal enrichment. She's highly attuned. She has psychic abilities. She discovered that in her youth. She combines those with natural ability and life experiences and, of course, moral ethics to help people move beyond their old wounds and, of course, repetitive patterns. Jennifer offers an outside source of confirmation. She can validate you. And when you get validated and you get this kind of help, this can be used in your everyday life. Her mission is helping others to empower themselves, to grow, to evolve, so that they can co-create the life they deserve. Jennifer believes that we all have the ability to create the life we want and deserve. She teaches men and women to love and accept themselves unconditionally. And when they do that, they do become happier with themselves and their lives. She's a nationally known speaker. She's appeared at numerous events. Jennifer has also been heard on radio stations across the country, like Voice America, Blog Talk, Women Are Worthy, CBS Radio, many other, and she's even hosted her own radio show, and she does that now. She is currently on BBM, as in Boy Boy Mother, BBMGlobalNetwork.com. Look her up, BBMGlobalNetwork.com. Her show is All You Need Is Love, and she does air Thursday nights at 5 p.m. Pacific and 8 p.m. Eastern. So I also want to just note, Jennifer has joined me as my guest on VoiceAmerica.com Variety, and my show is Illuminating Now, Lindsay's Life Secrets. It's been so popular when she has been the guest. We offer shows about sexuality, about sexual issues. The feedback has been fantastic that the shows have been informative, but they've also been fun. So here we go with the dissection of an orgasm, the raw truth. Part one begins. Let me start by saying, Jennifer Elizabeth Masters, I love, love, love when you're on my show. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Lindsay. It's delightful to be here with you.
You are welcome. Our listeners are lucky. So we're about to enter the bold waters about understanding an orgasm. Are we ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay, I'm ready too. So let's just start, and I want to kind of say, in my mind, I visualize an umbrella about health and wellness. And so I want to kind of start with the listeners thinking, that's what this is about. But I'm going to ask you some, you know, questions with regard to dissecting this. What is so great about an orgasm where even you have said, I have heard that it would help us sustain life? Tell me how that would happen.
When we're operating on all of our cylinders, like a car, when everything is happening with peak performance, we're vibrantly healthy, we're having regular sex and orgasms, it's like this fast moving sports car. You know, everything is just chugging along. Our chakras are balanced and open. When we don't have sex, then our first two chakras could be closed, which could cause health issues with reproductive areas, could cause hemorrhoids. There's a lot of things that could happen if we're not open and having functional sex regularly. So that alone, just keeping everything in balance, but also it lowers blood pressure, it releases stress, it just makes us feel better, releases feel-good hormones.
That makes so much sense. And again, I don't think people really correlate or often talk about nature, science, medicine. I don't think people necessarily talk about those words in connection to orgasm, but I think they're very appropriate, which is why I ask you about sustaining life, because if we say sustaining life, that gets to go in the category with nature, science, medical issues. So I like what you're talking about. There are things that actually happen that would create that. What do you think about having orgasms? Okay, so there are lots of ways to have them. Let's talk about relationship with a partner. Do you think, and if you do think, let me ask you first of all, do you think it creates a bond having, orgasms in a relationship? Do you feel that it, you know, it's necessary, and do you feel that it does create a bond? And I'm going to ask you how, if you do believe that.
Okay. Let's just say we take, one couple, and this couple has been married for, let's just say 30 years, and they've stopped having sex. When they stop having sex, they're also not having deep, intimate conversations. Because for a man to have a deep, intimate conversation, he needs to have sex to open up. Women are the opposite. We need to have the intimacy to be able to open up. But what tends to happen with a relationship where there's no sex is there's little or no touching. When we're not having sex, we actually turn away from our partner, and snuggling, kissing, holding, hugging, all of those things are in short supply when sex goes out the window. So it's not just sex, that the act of having sex that happens when we're intimate with a partner, but it also opens us up to receive more love, to be touched and touch our partners more. So when we're having sex on a regular basis, it opens both parties up, opens their hearts up. They talk more intimately. They connect more deeply. And their relationship is going to be strengthened because of this sexual bond to weather the storms of life that inevitably occur. And the fact that they have this deep connection physically, it also can extend beyond the physical into the spiritual, raising their vibration and bringing in a touch of God or the divine into their relationship.
That's so informative. And it brings up for me such an interesting thing that I often think about. And I like exactly what you said about men really do feel the need to be sexual. That is their safety zone, to then feel like they are safe. It removes some of their vulnerability and allows them, you know, to feel safety such that they can have some of these deep conversations that women like to have, and emotional issues that need to be visited within relationships. And of course, like you said, women often feel the need to have relationships or know that a man is attentive to their actual needs about issues. And if he is, then they start to feel either attracted to him or safe with him. And then they can allow sexual activity because they have less vulnerability as well after things are spoken about. So it is interesting that the need is a little different. But I also like what you said, if you can get this in perpetual motion, if you can build a relationship and really take it seriously, that it doesn't really matter where the need starts or begins, you've got to get it in perpetual motion happening. I sometimes refer to it with my clients as, are you building your house on sand or are you building your house on bricks? Because exactly what you said, it isn't so much always about the moment. It's about if you feel completely safe. And again, sex, you are at your most vulnerable. If you are going to that place and then you're landing safely, and that's just a way of life that's integrated into your relationship, then should crisis happen, you know, controversy, conflict, not just between the couple, but it could be family issues, work issues, financial issues, things hit you. And if you have that deep bond where you know you go to vulnerability but always land safely, then you can then deal with issues in the world to create vulnerability. And you know, it is your partner that you can join to get to safety. So that's why I say, if you maintain that perpetual motion of this sexual bond, you're building your house on bricks, because you have the ability to get to each other when crisis happens in the outside world, because you know safety is where you land. If you're not paying attention to that, then when crisis hits, you don't know where safety is. You haven't built anything with your partner, so you're often channeling the scary parts, the fear, the anger toward your partner, and that's a house built on sand. You can often just completely fall apart. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. You know, in the process of explaining the whole idea of the perpetual motion of sex, what came up for me was, when we're not expressing our physical and sexual self with our partner, we may go into judgment. Oh, he always wants sex. All he wants is sex. And when we get into our heads, we're shutting our heart down. And when we're in our heads and we're in judgment, we're not in a loving place, and we have a tendency to complain. And it's like a disease. You complain about one thing, and especially if you're talking to someone else about your spouse or partner, and you're complaining, it becomes a bigger problem. The more you complain, the more things that you're going to see that you don't like. None of us are perfect, but complaining about our partners is not a healthy, loving place to be.
That's such a good point. And it's really important, like, as we are talking, we are giving some really fundamental concepts that, again, do connect to health and wellness. We are saying that if you build this foundation, I call it bricks, but a real foundation, that's safety. And then when the outside world throws you scary things, dangerous things, you actually know that with your partner is safety. So these are health and wellness issues. And so that these are fundamentals, and we're offering these to you. There are more details to this. I mean, I go back to, you know, kind of backing into the equation that we start with, where men need sex to feel safe enough to have the deep talks that women want to have about so many issues. And women need these deep talks to happen to know that the man cares enough for them to feel like they can now go to that place where they're safe enough to have sex. So if we know this is a difference, if we just acknowledge the logic behind this, that each person has some different needs, then we need to get real about it. And men, you know, you got to kind of meet in the middle. Men need to be able to either listen or say, I know you want to have that talk, and I really want to have that talk with you. I want to feel so close to you and give you my undivided attention, and I want intimacy. I just want to feel your closeness. I want to be sexual with you. I want to just connect with our closest piece of intimacy so I can just feel you in my bones, and then I want to listen to exactly what you want to say to me. You know, can you go there with me? And a woman can also say, I completely want to be close to you, and sex is the greatest thing ever. Can you please talk to me so that I can get this out of my head? Once it's out of my head, I can give every single thing in my head to you, which is going to be the greatest chance for amazing and sex or intimacy with you. Can you do that for me? Could we just have this talk so I can cleanse my brain and get it ready for something amazing? If we could understand that we have some differences and actually speak in some of this languaging, you know, I don't want to cross over that, like explaining there's differences, but oh, who cares? Just be sure you're having sex all the time. I want to say, pay attention and work through how do we meet in the middle. But no matter what, it's going to be vital that somehow you guys meet each other's needs in a way that you build your foundation. Because if you're in a relationship, how lucky are you? And then the world is going to throw you so many curves. Why in the world do you need to split up? Because you built it on sand. Not the brightest move. There are things you can do to protect your relationship by building it on bricks. So what is anything coming up for you, Jen?
Well, yes, actually talking about, you know, not everybody enjoys sex like you and I do, Lindsay.
Don't give away our secrets, Jen. Be quiet.
And I'm not talking about you and I having sex together.
Maybe not. We don't tell anyone about that. Go ahead.
But there are some women, because I've spoken to them, there are some women out there that don't like sex. They've told me so.
Oh, yeah.
But what this means to me is that there's a part of themselves that they're feeling hatred towards. There's a part of themselves that they're rejecting. And when we're not sexual, I mean, we are sexual beings. It is just as much a human need as the need for water and being thirsty is. So it is important. It's a part of the human experience. But when you were talking about this foundation of bricks, the other aspect that I was seeing as being very important is that one person in a relationship, and if you're not being sexual with your partner, it's almost like there's two separate individuals. But when you come together and you have sex together, you're experiencing a bond. And the two of you are much stronger united than you are separate.
Exactly. Exactly. And I guess, you know, as you hear Jennifer and I talk, you'll hear us. We're very aware that we bring up Jennifer and I inspire each other, which is why we do so many shows together. We inspire each other and we expand our own knowledge by, you know, the thoughts we share. So I want to say it is what Jennifer said about making sure that you're having sex. And then I'm detailing, okay, here could be the differences. But I guess I want to try to just elaborate again on what she just said a minute ago. It's a mindset. So I guess what I'm trying to say is when she was saying, if you're negative, oh, brother, I don't want to have sex, or, oh my God, she never gives me sex, or not enough of it. It's just not fair. You know, she was saying before, don't be negative and don't put those thoughts. If you could step up your game, and even I'll go as far as to say a famous Lindsayism, turn it upside down, become what I call selfish in the sense that it's for you. That if you walk around with the mindset that no matter what, it's a great thing. Because again, if you're lucky enough to be in a relationship, then do the things that build the foundation and that keep the maintenance in place so that it doesn't fall apart almost by accident. So I'm just aligning with, there's no reason to have negative thoughts. Always tell yourself, even if you haven't had sex in a while, I want to make that effort. We haven't in a while, but the foundation is precious. We need to work with that. And again, I'm going to use some languaging to acknowledge that I want to be close to her, or I want to tell him that I'm sorry, I haven't been in the mood, but he's completely attractive to me. And I really want to make sure this is happening. So just realize this benefits you. Nobody wants to be blindsided by the relationship just slipping away. So just remember, it's for you. So instead of being negative about someone else not meeting your needs, think about how this foundation meets everyone's needs. And so always be investing in it in whatever way you can. So I'll ask you, Jen, did that bring up anything for you?
Well, of course it did. Of course it did. There's always a give and take in a relationship. And maybe you have sex when you're really maybe not in the mood. But in turn, there will be something given to you. And there's an ebb and flow that takes place in relationship. We are not islands unto ourselves. There is an interaction within the relationship. And when you give to your partner, then they will give to you. And you can always remind them later if they forget gently. But it is an ebb and flow. It's not you know, maybe you go through a period where you're not interested, or you're maybe not feeling well, or, you know, you have some very stressful situation. Women more than men are affected by stress in a negative way. In other words, where men are stressed, they go to sex for relief, where women, when we're stressed, it may be the last thing that we want to do, but perhaps it's what we should be doing. It might alleviate our stress. It may help us to sleep better, because when we say no, we might be laying there for an hour or longer wishing, why didn't I say yes? Why didn't I move towards him? Why didn't I embrace him as warmly as he embraced me? So sometimes it's just changing your mindset just a little and giving to your partner.
Right. Yeah, no, I love it. I love it. And again, I like to always try to say, and I don't mean it in a cocky or obnoxious way when I say selfishly, I'm saying before you're ready to pick on your partner, or before you're ready to think of all the reasons, either I wish he wouldn't push me when I'm stressed, or why does she think she has the right to say no just because she, instead of looking at it with something that points at your partner, just realize there is a benefit no matter what the situation is for yourself. If you don't want it still, if you have sex with your partner, he's going to want to hold you close and hear the story of what is stressing you out. And, you know, if you're not in the mood also, you would love that support and comfort. And so just always be thinking about what the other person might need, because it will always end up fulfilling you in the end. That's kind of what we're both saying, but there are just ways to think about things that can change how things go. So I guess I want to ask, this is kind of a vast question, but, and I'm not even sure, you know, but we are dissecting this. So I'm just going to ask, what does an orgasm feel like for a woman? I mean, you wrote Orgasm for Life. That is the book you wrote. So what does an orgasm feel like for a woman, Jen?
Knowing that everybody is different, an orgasm can feel different. And even within one person, an orgasm can be different. So what I would say is that it's a building up of pressure, like a fullness, where your heart rate may increase. You may feel tingling coming up from your backside and moving up into your lower back. And this energy builds, and it's like a burst, like an explosion of sorts, or many, many explosions of sorts throughout your body. Moving up, it moves all the way up into the frontal cortex of the brain, exploding in the brain, and then washing back down. And so the body goes into this spasm. It's an automatic thing. You can't stop it. For a woman, the vagina will pulse and contract, and the same for a man's penis. When he's ejaculating, there's going to be pulsing in, the woman can feel it inside of her. And then this wash of like a soft, light energy that just relaxes you completely. So this moving up and then back down again of this beautiful, brilliant energy, where sometimes people feel like they've seen or touched God. So it could be a spiritual experience as well as a physical one.
I have, heard that so many times, that crossover into spirituality. I mean, it is a place where we rise to, and you'll hear me talk. And even I think in my tip at the end of the show, you know, rising to our potential can be so many things. People just take that as, you know, maybe in the world, or did you get the best job, or are you in the best relationship? But I mean, an orgasm is part of rising to our potential. And so if that's rising into a spiritual realm where, you know, you're weightless and you don't get to go there often, or you go there as often as, you know, that orgasm may hit that spot, that's a fantastic place to think about if you haven't been there. And it's probably a fantastic place to think about if you have. And When you talk about this, are you referring to G-spot or clitoris or both?
Well, the G-spot orgasm can be more profound. It could, for the woman, have ejaculate involved, and the emotional experience could be one where some women absolutely let go and feel completely freed and totally weightless. The G-spot orgasm is definitely more profound, but a clitoral orgasm could do all of the things that I described as well.
Do you think that women, when they want an orgasm, when they hope for that, when they're with a partner, that their thought is a clitoral orgasm, that that's what is on their mind? Or do you think it depends on the woman? Some really want it to be a G-spot orgasm, or, you know, are we trained and kind of know that is the highest point of excitement and, you know, heightened feeling is a clitoral orgasm?
Well, the clitoral orgasm is actually rooted in the G-spot. So in other words, the nerve endings from the clitoris join in the G-spot, that the root of the clitoris is the G-spot. So you can experience, you know, additional pleasure there in the G-spot as well. And then my mind went off into some tangent. I must be floating on the waves of orgasm.
No, as you were saying it, I'm taking a couple notes because I know that we're going to take a break soon, and I'm thinking, oh, okay, wait, no, we're not going to finish the subject because, you know, the G-spot and, you know, as you're saying, you know, the clitoral orgasm is rooted in the G-spot. And so I'd never heard it said that way. And that's really interesting. And again, we are going to break very shortly. So I started to think, oh, like, I thought we were going to finish this subject. And, you know, because there's so much to talk about. Of course, there always is with us and with these subjects for every human that's listening. We never get everywhere that we want to get, but, we are going to break. So stay with us. I promise the break is really short and we're coming back with answers to these questions. Please, we're on Straight Up Sex Talk and stay with us. We're coming right back.
We are long overdue for the sexual movement you are about to witness. Sex may be the focus, while self-esteem will always be the goal. You're entitled to your self-esteem. This show will help you access it. You are about to be truly enlightened and invited into a community that advocates genuine learning and growth on some of the most challenging, unique, difficult, fun, and vital issues of our time. It's time to listen to the expertise of those who have made sexuality, identity, sexual health, sexual lifestyles, and sexual discovery their passion and a significant part of their careers. Your host, Lindsay Levinson, is a sexual director and an evangelist for the rights of every individual to be free, to live as they choose. Lindsay invites expansive thinking as we explore this vast sexual movement right here on Straight Up Sex Talk. Self-esteem is at the core of who we are. Is sex always a part of that? Straight Up Sex Talk will inform you that sexuality and sexual health is directly correlated with one's self-esteem. On Straight Up Sex Talk, no topic is off limits. Lindsay intends to take Straight Up Sex Talk into areas of pain, pleasure, identity, equality, health, freedom, choices, safety, fantasy, fetishes, rights, and clarity around achieving bliss. This show will discover a global platform that allows us all to become even more open, honest, compassionate, aware, and enlightened about sex and sexuality. Remember, nothing is taboo. We deserve self-esteem at its best. It is time to change the world. Welcome to Straight Up Sex Talk. The movement has begun.
Hi, I'm Lindsay Levinson. I am your host on Straight Up Sex Talk, and we have come back. So I hope you're still with us, and I guess if you're listening, you are. So thank you. We have Jennifer Elizabeth Masters. we are talking about the dissection of an orgasm, the raw truth. That is what this two-part, two-week series is about. We went to break and we were right on the cusp of what you kind of would not want to break right there, but luckily the break is short and we're back. So G-spot and clitoris and a woman's orgasm and where does she want it? Where does she feel it? How does it feel? How does it work? So Jennifer was explaining that. So yeah, I was asking, but Jen, can you pick up on that? So the G-spot really, it is sort of launched from the fact that someone can have a clitoral orgasm. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you know, studies have been done in laboratories where a urologist was testing these subjects, and he came to the conclusion that there was no G-spot. Now, why did he do that?
Okay.
And this was recent, because it takes at least 20 minutes of stimulation, whether it's clitoral or vaginal, but it takes at least 20 minutes of stimulation before the G-spot comes out of hiding.
Oh.
So if your sex act is short of the 20-minute mark, you're not going to experience a G-spot orgasm. So continue the stimulation as long as you can and try and use your finger to get to the upper wall, which is after about 20 minutes of stimulation, you're going to feel sort of ribbed.
So okay, wait. I want to go slow here. I want you. Okay. This is so informative and
I'm
so important because
I'm getting excited, though.
Yeah, getting excited. I'm excited for you to share this because when I think of my clients, when I think of what I've learned, my education, people, men think that when it's time to, let's say, use our fingers, use our digits and enter in, you know, it's kind of like headed in, headed deep, whether it's fast, slow, like that's how they're going to like it. That's what they're thinking. Okay. But talk to us exactly about where is that G spot? What can a man really do to find it and bring pleasure? Because it's not necessarily in long and deep.
Exactly. If you are fingering your partner with a straight index or middle finger, you won't reach it, because it isn't just straight back. You have to curl your finger upward to the upper wall of the vagina. Now, when I say the upper wall, I mean towards between the pubic bone and the navel. So it's about, and everyone's different, it's about an inch and a half inside the vaginal opening to 2.5 inches in, depending on the person. So someone who's tall, like Lindsay, hers would be a little further in than mine because I'm closer to the ground. That, for example, you know, it's all a matter of how, you know, the topo of our body is laid out. So, but you want to curl that finger upward, like a come hither, like you're calling somebody towards you with your finger. It's that type of emotion. So shoving the finger in straight won't do it. You have to curl it upward. And, you know, you could feel like you're doing the claw motion, because, you know, with any kind of long-term digital fingering of the G-spot, you could get cramped up, but it could take another 20 minutes once you start to feel the G-spot, and it will swell. There's erectile tissue in there. It will become engorged, similar to the penis. Now, it's, you know, it's a roundish area. It feels like, I liken it to, because I live in the desert, there are roads out here that are sand, and they're washboard roads. So they go ba-bump, ba-bump, ba-bump. Well, that's what the G-spot is like. And condoms actually mimic the G-spot, the ribbed condoms. They're made that way because of the interior of the woman's G-spot. And as the G-spot becomes engorged, if the man were to penetrate after that place, after that point, he's going to feel the benefit of that swollen G-spot as well.
That's so, well, I mean, it's interesting, but it's important information. Now, I want to say to men listening, We are not suggesting that there's nothing good about the feeling of if you're fingering your partner, you know, that your partner might not be saying go deeper or go faster or go harder. In other words, there can be benefits of a finger mimicking the penis such that it sort of feels like sex. So there's, you know, we're not saying don't do that. That is just a horrible thing and you've all got it so wrong for so long. That's not it. I mean, there are some significant pleasures to be found in ways that you explore within a woman, and she can potentially be communicating that some things are pleasurable in many things that you're doing. But the G-spot, I think it is just so known that it's getting missed. Like, men and even women don't necessarily know what Jennifer just explained. And when she was explaining, I think she's explained it beautifully, but she said toward the navel, I was just thinking, like, if you reached your finger in and then you kind of creeped up and then you wanted to point from the inside to exactly where your clitoris was, that's kind of exactly what, you know, sort of where it is. So you could think of it that way too. I'm going in, but I'm going to, you know, find the spot that's kind of right there that points back to the clitoris. And she is saying, which is a great point, don't just try to find it in that moment. Just understand that's the area. And then massage and different, you know, taking the time to explore different ways, you will start to feel the change in whether it's certainly the texture, potentially the size, the shape, the pulsing, and understand, wow, okay, this is another area that's quite unique. Would you say so, Jen?
I'm actually thinking of the hurdle that some people may have experienced already. Sometimes, without knowing that the G-spot is being touched, women may have a feeling of needing to urinate. When the G-spot is touched initially, that could be the urge. You feel like you have to pee. So get up, go to the bathroom, come back, and let him begin again. And there may be a little bit of a pressure again that you're going to feel that experience, like, I feel like I have to pee. Allow yourself, you know, you just went, so you don't have to go. Get beyond that need or urge to urinate, and that's when the pleasure begins. So you have to allow yourself a little bit of time to get beyond that. There's a little bit of an uncomfortable feeling where you feel the urge to pee. And even actually bearing down slightly towards that finger that is touching the G-spot can help to relieve that. And so instead of running away from that feeling of pleasure, you move towards it.
That's really helpful, because I definitely think all parties would probably think, oh, I don't know what's going wrong, but something, let's just skip this piece. And so really great to point out, okay, there's a piece that you might get past. And in fact, maybe that is kind of like a milestone, like, oh, we're probably in the right spot. If you feel like you have to go, I think I've probably arrived at the right spot. Go ahead and go. And oh, you still feel like you have to go? Great. We need to just push past this and work with it. Awesome. We're in the right place. So glad you explained that. Very helpful. So there's a lot more to a woman's orgasm, but I want to certainly just make sure we're talking about a man also. So can you differentiate, or maybe, I don't know what you're going to say, so I'm just going to ask you, how does an orgasm feel for a man?
Not being a man, I will do my very best to explain how it feels from a man's perspective.
Right.
There is a fullness, a pressure that builds when the penis becomes erect. Blood flow is increased. They may even get sweaty. You know, their breath may change. There's this urge to just release, and that urge becomes so intense. And the more that they move, the more they want to just let go, because there's this huge pressure, this building in the genitals that is just pushing up. And so, you know, the natural urge is to just let go. But the more that a man moves, the shorter the time between arousal and ejaculation. So for a man, if he has difficulty maintaining or holding back his ejaculation for maybe even say it, let's say he gets to 3-4 minutes and is like, oh my God, I can't wait to let go. If a woman's on top, she can be in control. The less the man moves, the longer it'll take him to have an orgasm, because that movement is what surges. It's like every cell of his being is just wanting to push up and out, and just like Mount Vesuvius or Old Faithful, this huge eruption. And when it happens, so there's this amazing feeling that builds. And again, it goes through the central channel, and most men are focused on the pulsing of the penis, the ejaculation that surges out. Their testicles feel full, and you know, all that fluid is moving through them. But there's also this circulation of energy up into the brain. Most men are not focused on that at this time, but right, they do feel that. And so the muscles become tense, and at the time of release, that it's like everything is on autopilot. There's not much that he could do. He certainly wouldn't want to be balancing his checkbook at this time.
No.
And that energy goes to the brain and then cycles back down. And then there's this incredible euphoric feeling of bliss.
Love it. Okay. I can't even believe we're getting toward the end. I do have my straight up sex tip, so I've got to not close at this second, but in about a minute. So I just want to ask you in your minute sentence, the health, you know, is this healthy? Is having an orgasm healthy? And you have to throw it at me in a minute.
Absolutely. It increases cardiovascular health. It reduces depression, eliminates stress, and it just gives you a beautiful, blissful feeling. And not to mention, your brain is bathed in all kinds of endorphins and feel-good hormones. And not only that, those surge throughout the whole body. So absolutely, having an orgasm, having sex is very healthy.
You know, we have so much information. We have part two next week. You can see how Jennifer has these details. And so I just can't stress enough, we are going to continue to talk about health, but you know, we have talked about it. We have talked about it for men, for women, but just the knowledge that it does connect to health. The straight up sex tip for today's show. I want you to think about the title of the show, Dissection of an Orgasm, The Raw Truth, because each of you listening either can have an orgasm, or you know that you can't, or you wish a relationship could allow for one, or you appreciate your relationship because that's what that particular relationship happens to be good at. Each of you know how to give yourself an orgasm, or you know that you wish you could. You'd need more information to be able to do so because you can't. So the question is, why can't we talk about this subject openly? Why can't we learn about sexual pleasure with support? Why is it always judgment or embarrassment or secrecy if we want to talk about this subject? The core of our being deserves to achieve its heightened pleasure to its greatest capability. And who designed this? Nature, God, whatever you believe in. But we came designed this way. But we then, somebody with data, labeled words like sex, sexuality, orgasm, masturbation, intercourse, even fantasy and fetish. Those are words that belong in these boxes. Just picture air quotes, after hours, or maybe the whisper box, or maybe taboo. Maybe, yikes, don't talk about that box. Why? Why is that the way it is? Because this is all nature. It's anatomy. It's pleasure, self-esteem, connected to relationship dynamics. Now, see when I said that sentence? That sounded really clean, right? I'm going to say it again. I want you to listen. This is about nature, anatomy, pleasure, self-esteem, connected to relationship dynamics. Okay, so why is that sentence clean? While dissecting or learning about an orgasm would definitely go into a taboo box. It is time to change the world. This makes no sense. We need to learn to understand, and we need to understand to be able to grow. And then we need to grow to feel like we've achieved something, and only with achievement can we end up with self-esteem. Straight up sex talk. It is a sexual movement. It is so long overdue, and I am asking you to join. You know what else I'm asking? Tell one person to join also. Tell one person to listen to a show, because it matters. You're helping our world. Telling one person, each of you, if you did that, our movement would gain so much momentum. I am so grateful for you listeners, for your desire to grow and contribute to world change. So you're saying to yourself, what? I'm not contributing to anything. Yes, you are. Just listening makes you a contributor because you choose to learn. I thank Jennifer Elizabeth Masters. Oh my gosh, can you see the detailed information she brings us? It's fantastic to ask these questions and get these kind of detailed answers. Where else would we ever get them? She'll be back for part two next week, and we are going to talk about the state of orgasm being analogous with the state of meditation. Could that be possible? Well, if it is, we're going to tell you how or why. Her book is Orgasm for Life. I promise you, you want to get that book and you want to get it in your hands. I could tell you all the reasons why, but if you get that book, you'll then see, oh my gosh, I see why Lindsay said to get it in my hands. I am your host, Lindsay Levinson. We are on Straight Up Sex Talk. This is a community. You can also hear me on New York's number one talk radio station, WOR 710 AM, iHeart, and CYACYL.com, standing for Change Your Attitude, Change Your Life. CYACYL.com. I am their relationship coach. Check it out. Also, remember PassionatePotential.com. Go there. I encourage you to have a blast. But you guys, you listeners, you supporters, you contributors, you people who care, I cannot offer you enough gratitude. I would love you to think about your week. Really consciously think about it. Then have an intoxicating week. Make your week matter. But most of all, I want you to remember, the movement has begun. Thanks.